The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched, Jesus walked by. He exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours. From God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Now that our feet are firmly planted in the year 2017, maybe we've stopped writing 2016 on our checks. Maybe no one writes checks anymore. I don't really know, actually. This is the year that we remember that 500 years ago, in 1517, Martin Luther started an important conversation. The conversation was about the way the church does things, the way Christians behave, the things we have perhaps forgotten about how God has promised to work in this world and the things that Jesus called us to do and be. It would be really nice if this were simply a history lesson that 500 years ago, you know, things were a bit off in the church. Martin Luther had to do some work, and Philip Melanchthon and some of their friends, they had work to do. I mean, they mentioned that there were problems, they ruffled some feathers, they got in some trouble, but then everybody got back on track and, you know, always now leading everyone to the truth. Then this 500th anniversary would just be a look at church history. And that would be nice, but it just wouldn't be true. We know we need a reformation again. We know we need a reformation every single morning. This morning, too. And so God has given us a reformation text in the Gospel of John. John the Baptist just keeps pointing at Jesus. He keeps saying, "Look, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, that maybe doesn't seem so Reformation-like. We all came here this morning, after all, expecting to sing, "Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world," or whatever setting we're singing. So we might not pay that much attention to that phrase that we've sung most Sundays of our lives. But might we need to take a closer look at the verb, maybe even the tense of the verb, that this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Not maybe someday might, not if you're good enough will, but just has the power to take away the sin of the world. This sin taker awayer, this man, this one with the power to remove sin, he is the one. John keeps pointing at him. He is the one we should turn our eyes upon and pay close attention to and follow and imitate and learn from. So then two of John's disciples are, they see John pointing and John saying, "This is the Lamb of God," and so they start following behind Jesus. Now we say we follow Jesus, and when we say that, I think what we mean is we ask for the strength to live as he lives. We long to and pray for the strength to do what he does. That's our our following Jesus. But these two are literally following him, like he's walking one place and they're walking a few steps behind. And so he turns around and says, "What are you looking for?" And they call him rabbi or teacher, and they ask him, "Where are you staying?" And the Greek word for staying is meno in this case. It means more than simply, "Where will you be sleeping tonight?" or "Where do you live?" It means to abide. It means to remain, to be present with. Now, maybe the two who were following him were literally asking him where he's staying. "Where are you going to sleep tonight?" or "Where are you going?" Maybe they were wondering, "How far are you going? I have to work tomorrow. Can I even go with you?" We don't know what they meant by "Where are you staying?" But when John wrote down this story, he chose the verb meno. He could have used other words to mean sleep or stay or live or go. But he used this word that is rich in meaning. Where are you abiding? Where are you remaining? Where will we find you? And that makes Jesus' answer to their question a Reformation answer. Where are you abiding, Jesus? Where will we find you? And he says, "Come and see." He could have said, "Over at Joseph's house." But he said, "Come and see." Now, this is the Gospel of John today, but this is the year of Matthew in the liturgical church where we follow this calendar of readings. Today, we get a moment from John. We get an invitation, as challenging as it might be, from John. But this year, as we move through the story of Jesus' death, resurrection, ministry, all of the things that we're going to learn about Jesus this year and relearn and see, they're going to come from Matthew. And in Matthew, Jesus does not mince words. Jesus is not confusing or mystical or mysterious when he says, "When you help the hungry, you help me. When you visit those who are sitting in prison, you are visiting me." Jesus abides with those who suffer, those who are rejected, those who have been forgotten. He is crystal clear about that. So when Jesus calls us to come and see, when we say, "Hey, where can we find you?" and he says, "Come and see," when we answer that call and we go and see, we will be reformed. Because when we find Jesus, we will find him in places we do not want to look. We are not in the habit of looking. We're not in the habit of spending our money or time or resources in these places. When we turn to do the seeing that Jesus asks us to do, we will be reformed. I don't know if you read the newsletter. I really don't know. But every month I write a letter on the front of it. And this month, I suggested, perhaps, imagine if we went to a prison. I've never been to a prison. But if I did go, I would be reformed in some way. Something would shift in me. And I mean re-formed. I am one form now, and if I sat with a person who had committed crimes and had to live in a cell and has no freedom like that, I would be changed in some way. I could not sit and experience that and be in community with another human being and not be shifted in some way. And we will find Jesus abiding in prisoners who have actually committed horrible crimes. I wrote that letter, and then I learned that Dylan Roof, 17-year-old baptized kid, baptized in the ELCA, that he was convicted because he confessed that he did it, and he was sentenced to death for murdering 9 African-American people in a church. And he still thinks he needed to do it. If our default position to make things simple is that God's love is a formula, and that we're in this formula, let's say Dylan, if Dylan could choose to do such violence and persist that it's right, then he has rejected God and Christ is not in him. If that's the way we make sense out of things, if that's where we stand in order to sleep at night and to keep our faith, then we also have to say that the claim God made on Dylan at the font, that claim is a breakable claim. That when God says forever, we sinful humans can dissolve that claim. I can't claim that. That's not the faith of the church that I understand. It's not the faith that I've been called to proclaim here. In Dylan's baptism, he was stitched together with Christ and sealed by the Holy Spirit forever. Sin has taken hold in him in a way I don't understand. I can't even imagine it. And Dylan may have indeed rejected Christ, but Christ is still present in Dylan Roof. So being Reformation people means looking at the most heinous person we have in our midst and still seeing Christ. Imagining how we might behave toward Christ when we imagine how we might behave toward Dylan. Come and see is no simple invitation. It is a challenge, and it takes strength and courage and humility. Come and see means seeking out Christ in all of our neighbors, all of them, the ones we do not understand, the ones we do not like, the ones we would prefer to avoid, even the ones that scare us. Jesus' example is not one of shying away from that which scares us. During this season of Epiphany, Jesus will invite us to come and see, come and risk, come and belong, come and learn, come and obey laws that we think we understand, but Jesus knows we do not understand. There is nothing comfortable about Reformation. There's nothing comfortable about agreeing to risk something that you love. There is nothing comfortable about letting go of fear. But we are not called to comfort. We are called to love. So come to the table today. Come and see. Come and be present at the table with others, where Christ abides with you in a way that is physical and mysterious and faithful. And if you would like, on your way to the table, dip your finger in that water and trace a cross over the one that was made a long time ago. And just remember that you were called to seek out Christ in your neighbor. But that includes you. You are also someone's neighbor. So when people come to you, they will find Christ abiding. This is good news. This is terrifying news. This is a challenge. This is beautiful. And it happens best when we are in community and trusting, and when we remember who we are and whose we are. We can come and see Jesus. We can. We're grateful for the call. But we need your strength. Amen.